Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Memhei. We are in Memdal Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom of the Amud. And yesterday, Rabbi Avo, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, introduced us to a new concept called Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser. He was speaking specifically about a Nazir. So the shear of the Isser by a Nazir is a kezayis of wine. Let's say he doesn't have a kezayis. It's only in combination with the Heter that it will have a kezayis. The Pasuk says, Mishras. Even something soaked. You have a piece of bread soaked with wine. You have Mitzarf, the Heter with the Isser. So it's partially soaked on one side of that slice of bread. It's completely free of any wine. Just pure bread. We have Mitzarf, the Heter portion, the bread portion, with the wine, since he ate it all together at once. And if both together reach a kezayis in volume, he is chayiv malchus. And this we learn from the pasuk Mishras, that he just heter imitzarf l'isser by the nazir. Chachamim disagree, because they use Mishras for something else, to teach us tam ki ikar, flavor, taste, equals substance. It's a different concept. Here you have some water which is wine flavored. So the flavor has been distributed throughout this entire water. It receives the tam of the Isser. That tam is tantamount to Isser, to Iker, to Mamish. It's as though he's drinking wine. And this concept we learn, according to Rabbanim, from that very same pasuk, Mishras, to teach us that even tam is ki Iker. And as Rabbanim told us yesterday, we apply this to Kalaterukula, to all Isur. It's not limited to Nazir. We use a Kalvachaymer to apply it to other Isurim as well. So Tam Kikr is universal. Rabbi Kiva learns Tam Kikr from a different Makar we learned yesterday from the parts of the Goyim, which teach us that the Tam as well is considered like the Isur. Why then would we be concerned with the Geule Nochem, flavor being expelled from the pots that the Goyim used? So apparently, says Rabbi Kiva, we learn from their Tam Kikr, and we apply it elsewhere as well. It's not limited to that halacha, it's a universal halacha, Tam Kikr. However, the concept of Heter, Mitzarf L'Isser, that's unique to Nazir. According to Rabbi Kiva, we learn from Mishras that Heter, Mitzarf L'Isser, by Nazir, not by other Isser. So at this point, Tam Kikr is something universal, applied to all Isser. The question is just the Makar. What do we know it from, according to Bekiva? From the Geulei Nachrim, from those pots, according to the Chachamim, from Mishras. When it comes to Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser, then we have a real machlekes in Halacha. Bekiva says we learn from Mishras, because Mishras is available. We use that to teach us Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser by Nazir, whereas the Chacham disagree, because Mishras is not available. We need it for the other halacha. Therefore, they don't agree that Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser by Nazir. But Rabbi Kiva doesn't apply that concept of Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser to other Yisurim. It's limited to Nazir. Says the Gemara, six lines from the bottom. Omer le Rav Acha, Brei de Rav Avi le Rav Ashi. So he asked Rav Ashi like this. Why did Rabbi Kiva limit the concept to Nazir? Just as, according to the Chachamim, the concept of Tam Kikr, which is learned from Mishras as well, is applied elsewhere. So why doesn't Rabbi Kiva do the same with Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser? Apply it all over. Midrabbanan, from the Rabbanan, Nishma Rabbi Kiva. Let's derive to Rabbi Kiva as well. Just as they applied their halacha elsewhere, why couldn't Rabbi Kiva apply his chiddush of Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser to any Isser? Milo Yamir Rabbanan. Didn't the Rabbanan say Mishras? The pasuk Mishras is coming to teach us Litan Tam Ki Ikar. And it's not limited only to Nazir, despite the fact that Mishras is a pasuk by Nazir. We don't limit it to Nazir. Mikanat Adon L'chol Yisurim Shebatayra. From here, we learn to elsewhere as well. We apply this klal to all halachas. Tam Ki Ikar applies to every Yisur. The Rekiva Nami, according to him as well. Mishras is coming to teach us Lehetem Mitzarev L'Isur. But why limit it to Nazir? Mikan atadon l'chol Yisurim Shebatayra Kula. Why can't you apply it to all Yisurim? Draw a parallel from Nazir to elsewhere. Amleis Rav Ashi responded. He can't do that. Mishum da'ahava nazir v'chatos. Shnei k'suvin haba'an ke'echad. Because aside from nazir, we have another example in the Torah of heter, which is mistarf l'yaseh, which is the karbon chatos. The Gemara soon will explain for us. And we know that when the Torah repeats something twice, goes through the same concept twice, there are two k'suvin haba'an ke'echad, two psukim which are leading in the same direction and teaching the very same halacha. That indicates that you're not meant to apply it elsewhere. Otherwise, the Torah would only mention it once, and then we would apply it elsewhere. The fact that it had to be repeated indicates that it's meant to be limited to only these two instances. It's shnei k'suvim ban ke'echad, ve'im lamdim. And that explains why heter mitzdarf l'isser only apply in these two specific cases, nazir and chatas. Now, they're going to explain the two cases. Nazir, what is the example of nazir? Hadamar, as we just said, the pasuk of Mishras, with the slice of bread soaked in wine. Heter mitzdarf l'isser. What about chatas mahi? Where do we find it by chatas? The sanya. Kol asher yiga b'vsor yigdash. Anything which will touch the basar of the chatas will become kaddish. Yochel afil loy bola. Perhaps this applies even if the basar of heter didn't absorb anything from the chatas. Tamulay b'vsora. Achi yivla b'vasar. It only works if the chatas actually imparted some flavor, some of the tam, went from the karma chatas into the, and absorbed into the other basar. Then what happens? Yigdash. It becomes kaddish. Liyais kamaya. The basar of heter now assumes the status of the chatas. What does that mean? Shim psulahi the pasul. If the chatas happened to be pasul, it was nicer or pigle, then the other basar which absorbed from the chatas also becomes pasul. Shim ksherehi. If the chatas was kasha, perfectly fine. The achal kachamishaba. Then the other slice of meat can be eaten, but it assumes the same stringencies as the chatas. Just as the chatas is a carbon, can only be eaten to a kohen and for a day and a night. So that halacha applies to the other carbon, to the other piece of meat as well. So what do we see? That heter mitzdarf l'iser. We have a piece of meat which, on one side, happened to touch the chatas and absorb some of the chatas material. But on its other side, it was totally free of any chatas absorption. We say that the entire slice of meat assumes the status of chatas. Even the heta portion in that slice of meat joins together with the issa portion. So we'll regard it as one and the same. So here's your second example of heta mistarf l'issa. We have two examples, nazar and chatas, and therefore we can't apply it elsewhere. Says the Gemara, v'rabbanan, nami, according to Rabbanan as well, we apply the concept of, not heta mitzdar, but the concept of tam ki ikar, all over. We derive from nazir and apply it elsewhere. According to them as well, Rabbanan nami, nami nazir v'chatas, shnei k'suvim ban ke'echad, v'eim alamdin. Why don't we have two examples, nazir and chatas? And if that's the case, we're meant to limit the concept of tam ki ikar to these two places. Once the Torah repeats it, that indicates they're not meant to extend it and apply it elsewhere. So nazir is an example of tam ki ikar. And the Gemara is assuming that chatas is also an example of tam ki ikar. Says the Gemara Amri, so he said like this, Hanu mitzrich tzrichi. That according to Rabbanon, you could learn from nazir that tam ki ikar applies elsewhere as well. Why? Because both these examples, chatas and nazir, are needed for their own sake. Each one is unique and has its own lesson, its own chiddush. And when that's the case, you don't apply the rule of shnei k'suvim ban ke'echad. That's only when you don't really see a need for the Torah repeating it. And then you say, well, apparently the Torah is indicated, keep it local, keep it limited to these two examples. But when you have a reason why the Torah had to repeat things, each one has its own unique lesson, mitzvah tzrichi, then you can. You're at liberty to apply the concept elsewhere. And the Gemara will tell us why each one is needed. Continues the Gemara. V'Rav Akiva, my tzrichi. According to Rabbi Akiva, who, as we just learned, does not extend his concept of heter mitzdarf l'isser to other halachis. And that was because we have two examples. One is nazir, one is chatas. Ishnei k'suvim ban ke'echad. And you can't stretch that elsewhere. Therefore, according to him, apparently, you don't say each one is needed. It's merely a repetition. which indicates keep it right here, local. Limit it to these two examples. Don't extend it elsewhere. Rabbi Akiva, Mai Tzrichi. Why would they both be needed? Let's say if the Torah would have only said Chatos, has the halacha hetum and starf leisur. Okay, like gomer nazir minay. Then I would understand that you can't learn nazir mina. Why the chulin mekachim like amina? We can't apply a chumra that we find by kachim to chulin. It's natural that a carbon is more chumra. So yeah, if the Torah would have said Chatos, you couldn't have learned nazir. Also has the halacha of hetum starf leisur. We can't learn that from Chatos. But the Torah could have done it in the other way around. El lichtav rachmana b'nazir v'seisi chatas v'tigma minei. The Torah could have written it by nazir, the hetem starf leisur, and then chatas could have learned from nazir. If you find it by ordinary, by non-carbon material, certainly by a carbon. The hakol isurin shabatayra kagamar b'nazir, because as we learned yesterday, all isurin shabatayra are derived from nazir. See the rabbanon applied tam ki ikar by other isurim based on nazir. There's nothing to prevent us from learning other yisurim from nazir. So why didn't the Torah just give us the halacha of hetem mistarif l'isur by nazir, and we'll automatically apply it elsewhere? So apparently, the reason why the Torah repeated it again by chatas was to indicate that no, I don't want you to apply it elsewhere. I want it to be limited to these two examples, to nazir and chatas. That explains why, according to Rabbi Akiva, hetem mistarif l'isur will only apply in both these cases. And nowhere else. V'Rabbanan. Now the Rabbanan, who say that we can go ahead and learn Tam Ki Ikar to other halachis, the kasha was, but we seem to have two examples in the Torah, Nazir and Chatos. Once we have two examples, we can't apply it elsewhere. That's why the Torah repeats it to say, I want it right here and nowhere else. V'Rabbanan Amrilach, the Rabbanan will respond and say, Mitzvah Tzrichi. They're both really needed. Why? Chatos lehetem mitzarf leisur. Oh. Here we see that the Rabbanan Amask, they agreed to Rabbi Akiva in one example, in one case of Chatos. If the basar of heter touched the basar of Chatos and absorbed, we say heter mitzarf leisur. So the heter portion of the basar is considered like the isur, as it then like a Chatos. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk. So we find only one solitary example, according to Rabbanon, of hetem mitzarif l'isur by chatas. It's a carbon, it's more stringent, has a different halach. But that's unique to the chatas. V'chulin mekachim le'gamar. And of course, we can't go ahead and apply that to chulin, because that's a chumrah applied specifically to a carbon, hetem mitzarif l'isur, but not elsewhere. So that's why Torah speaks about it by Chatas. Umishras, the other pasuk by Nazir, litain tam ki ikar. That's coming to teach us that tam is like the ikar. So for instance, if you have some wine-flavored water, that water in its entirety is considered like wine. Umikana tadon l'chal Torah kula. And indeed, from Nazir, you can apply it and extend it elsewhere as well to all other yisurim. Tam ki ikar is a universal concept. So at this point in the Gemara, regarding Tam Ki Ikar, that's applied all over. Regarding Hetem Mitzav L'Issa, well, according to the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, it applies to Chatas. What about by Nazir? That's strictly according to Rabbi Akiva. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva, Tarvayu L'Hetem Mitzav L'Issa. Both Psukim, Nazir and Chatas, are coming to teach us Hetem Mitzav L'Issa. V'Hav L'Shnei K'suvim Habag Yechad. Now we have a repetition, two psukim leading in the same direction, teaching us the same thing. And we know that we can't learn when we have two ksuvim teaching us the same thing. So according to Rabbi Akiva, both psukim, Nazir and Chatas, are available for Hetem Mistarif L'Issa because he learned Tam Ki Ikar from elsewhere, from the Giulei Nachram, from those pots. So he has two psukim, Nazir and Chatas, available to teach us Hetem Mistarif L'Issa. The fact that Torah bothers to repeat it twice, that indicates that I want it to be limited in those two cases and only in those cases. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Ashna Rav Kahana. Elohad Asanya. If that's the case, how are we going to understand the Brice? Mikoy Lashayasa, Migefanayayin, Mechatzan, and Batzak. The Pasuk says that a Nozer must keep away from any wine products, any vine products. Mechatzanim from the pits, Vatzag, and the skins. The fact that the Pasuk lists everything together, that's coming to teach us. It's like one, he's eating it once. Chatzanim, Vatzag, what is that coming to teach us? The fact that we have all these examples with one achila, Limid al Isur Nozer, Shemitzar from Zemze. It's coming to teach us that all different types of Isurim, all different vine and wine products of the Nazar, a mitzvah from one to the other. So if he has a half a kazayas of the pit, half a kazayas of the skin, it's going to be mitzvah together. That's the price. Says the Gemara, this is Ravashi's kasha. Hasha the Rekiva is of heter mitzvah. If that's the case, that Rekiva holds, heter is mitzvah for the Isur. So the bread joins the wine to reach a total of a kazayas for the Nazar. Is there any need to speak about two items which are aser independently? Of course, they'll join together to complete each other's shir kazayis. Why does the pasuk have to teach us this halacha? Isn't it simple and obvious? Amr lei, Sir of Kana responded, the big difference. Isav heter vasachas. Yeah. When Rabbi Kiva says heter joins the iser, heter mitzarf iser is vasachas, when he swallowed them both together. It was one maas achila. So on account of that single act, they become joined, combined, and they complete each other's shir. But Issa v'he Isser, the two types of Isser mentioned in this brisa, b'zeh hazeh. We're speaking where he ate one and then the other. It wasn't vasachas, one act, one swallow, one chewing. And who says it's going to join together? That's why the brisa comes and teaches us that even b'zeh hazeh, he does it successfully, but it's both Isser items. They can complete each other's shear, and if in total he has a shear kazayis, he gets malchus. So, conclusion, all agree that tam ki'ikr, if you have something which absorbs the flavor of the iser, we treat it as though it's the iser itself. That applies all over, applies to all iser and shebet Torah. The question only is regarding the source. How do we know this halacha? According to Chachamim from Mishras by Nazir, according to Rekiva from the Geulei Nachum from those Goyish pots. What about heter mitzarf le'iser? So you have something which is free of any iser and happens to be eaten together with the iser. All agree that by a chatas, we apply that concept regarding nazar or machlekes. Kuntur Rekiva, yes. Kuntur Rabbana, no. Continues the Mishnah. Batzei shebesidke areva. If we have some dough caught inside the sidke areva, the cracks and crevices within the walls of the areva, the kneading bowl, which is actually pretty beneficial because it reinforces the bowl, prevents leakage. So does he have to remove that dough before Pesach? Im yesh kazayis b'mokam echad, chayv levar. If there's a kazayis amount of dough sitting in one spot, that's too big to be considered bottle to the bowl, and he has to do birchamitz. Vim la, but if it's smaller than a kazayis, bottle b'miutay. It's bottled due to its minuteness. It's serving a purpose. It's sitting on the wall of the kli, plugging it up, reinforcing it. And being that it's small in size, it's bottled. V'chein linyan tuma. Same concept applies to tuma. If we have some dough caught inside the cracks of the bowl, im makbid olav, if he's particular about it, he wants to remove it, objects to its presence, then it's not considered one and the same entity as the bowl, chaitz. So it creates a barrier between the water and the bowl. However, if he wants it to remain in place, he likes that it's sitting there, it's reinforcing his bowl. Then it's considered one and the same part and parcel of the wall of the areva and doesn't pose a chatzitza concern. So we have two concepts in the Mishnah, one regarding tuma, one regarding biru chametz. And the Mishnah told us that regarding biru chametz, if it's a kazayis, he has to remove it. If it's less than a kazayis, no concern. Now, this areva, this kneading trough, this bowl, had three sections to it. There's the bottom, which is meant to support liquid and water, which you're going to pour into this bowl before you start kneading. So the bottom, the Gemara call Asir L'chazik. It's meant to be machzik, to contain, to support the actual liquid. Then we have these sides, which is meant to contain the actual dough once you start kneading it. And then you have the lips, to which no water or dough usually reaches. So where is this Mishnah referring to? Where do you find the dough? Mishnah says a kazayis must be removed. But less than a kazayis is no concern. So there are two versions of the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel, lo yishanu. This is what we said in the Mishnah, that a kazayis of dough poses a concern. Where is it located? Where? Which crack? Elu b'makom mishein asur l'chazik. Only if it's sitting in a place where it's not meant to hold the liquid. It's on the bottom. It's on the sides. Avo b'makom shasur l'chazik. But if it's on bottom, where it's meant to support the actual liquid, in which case plugging that hole is very crucial and vital and essential for the functioning of that kli. Einei chayv levar. Then it doesn't have to do bir chametz, even if it's a kazayis. Because it's bottle, it's functioning as a reinforcement for that bowl. It's part and parcel of the bowl material, and there's no need to do bir chametz. It's bottle to the bowl. So we're speaking about a kazayis, and it depends on its location. If it's properly located, it's bottle. If it's elsewhere, it's not bottle. Says the Gemara Bechlal, apparently, the pachas mekazayis. Let's say it's small size, less than a kazayis. So you have that element in favor. It's minuteness. In that case, then regardless of where it's located, it's bottle. Afilu b'makim. Shein asur l'chazik. Eini chayv levar. Even if it's not on the bottom, it's sitting on the side of the kli. It's embedded in a crack on the wall of the kli. You don't have to remove it. So according to this version, it's either or. Either one of these positive elements remove any concern. Either the fact that it's small in size, less than a kazayis, and it's sitting in the crack of the bowl, in which case it's bottled to the bowl, or due to its location. In that case, regardless of its size, even if it's large, a large-sized piece of dough, it's a kazayis or more. But if it's sitting in the bottom of the bowl, in which case it's vital and needed for the functioning of this areva, to support the water, where the water is sitting there and it's going to leak out. So this thing is providing a very, very crucial function and service, it's bottle. So either or is fine. Either small size or properly located. Ikad masna sefa. There's another version of Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel that he was referring to the second part of the mission, which says v'im lav bottle b'miyotei. If it's less than a kazayis, then it's bottle. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel lo yishanu. That's only said when it's properly located. So according to this version, you'd have two positive elements: size and location. Loishanu is only allowed el b'makom she'asir l'chazik, only when it's sitting in a place which is asir l'chazik, meaning the bottom, the very bottom of the bowl, in which case it's important to reinforce it to prevent leakage of water. So it's small in size and strategically located. But if sitting on the side, which is not meant to support the water itself, chayim levar, beer is required. So according to this version, you need two elements in favor. Small in size, and the fact that it's so small, that allows it to be bottle if it's really needed. It's on the bottom of the kli and reinforcing the bottom of the kli. Miklal, apparently, the kazayis, if it's large in size, if it has a kazayis, then regardless of where it is, you have to do beer. It can't be bottle. Afilu b'makom asur l'chazik chayiv, even if it's on bottom, chayiv levar. So conclusion, according to the first Lashon, one favorable element is sufficient, either small in size or properly located. According to the second version, you need to have two positive elements to remove any concerns. Number one, it needs to be small in size and strategically located in a place where it's really needed for reinforcement of the kli. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. We have a brisa in support of both versions. Tani Kalishna Kama, we have a brisa to support the first version, that even one element is enough, either small in size or properly located. Batzeg shebesitke areva. You have some batzeg embedded in the cracks of the areva. B'malkim ha'asa l'chazeg, if it's on bottom, where it supports the liquid and it's really needed, ein echaitzitz. then it doesn't pose a chatzitza, because it's part of the kli. Ve'ne oiver, and he's an oiver bal yira. Ubemakim she'enos lachazik. But if it's elsewhere in the kli, chaytetz va'oiver, he's chaytetz and he's oiver, so you must remove it before Pesach. Ba'mel devar mamurim be'kazayis. This is only pertaining to kazayis. So if you have a kazayis and it's properly located, fine, it's batal. If you have a kazayis which is improperly located, it's not really needed, it's not so essential for the function of the kli, then you have a concern. Aval pachas mekazayis, but if it's small in size, afilu b'makom she'enos lechazik ein chaytetz v'ein oiver, then regardless of where it is located, there's no concern. So it's either one or the other, either on account of its small size or on account of its location. This corresponds to the first version of Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. V'tani chalish nebasa, the Rabbi said to support the second version, that we need two elements to allow. Batzek shebisit karev, b'makom ha'asa lechazik. So if it's on bottom, ein chaytetz v'ein oiver. B'makom she'ein asa lechazik, if it's off to the side, chaytetz v'oiver. When do we say that if it's sitting on bottom and it's really needed for the functioning of the kli, there's no concern? That's only if in addition to location, it's small in size. The pachis mekazayis. Aval mekazayis. But if it's a kazayis, I feel a bit makim asa lechazik chaytetz v'oiver. Even if it's sitting on the bottom where it's really needed for reinforcement purposes, it's chaytetz and it's oiver. Why? According to this brisa, both elements are required. You need to have something small in size, and only then can it be batel if it's really essential for the function of the kli, if it's sitting on the bottom, to prevent leakage of liquids. So again, according to the first brisa, it's either one or the other. Either if it's a small size piece of dough, less than a kazayis, regardless of where it's located, bottom on the side, it's batel to the kli, due to its small size. If it's a kazayis, which is a significant shear, then, well, if it's properly located, it's needed for plugging that hole. If it's on the bottom of the kli, then it's batel. So either or, either location or size, according to the second brisa, you need to have both elements. It needs to be small in size, and only that enables you to be mevatlet, if it's really needed at the bottom of the kli. Kashi nadadi. So you have a kash, a stira, for one brisa or the other. Which one is it? Amar Huna sami kilta mikame chamerta. Remove the first brisa, which is lenient, on account of the second brisa, which is machmer. Rav Yosef Amar, he says, no, both are accurate and substantiated brises. You know why? They reflect different shitas. Tanoi, shaklas ma'alma. Have you removed all the tanoim from the world? I'll find you tanoim whose shitas correspond to the shitas reflected in these two brises. One tana will hold that even if it's a large-sized piece of dough, if it's designated for a function other than eating purposes, then it's batel. The other shita will say, no, a kezayis can never be batel. Tanoi, the sanya. Hapash ipsha, some bread which form mold. Chayv levar, he needs to do bir chametz, even on this, even though it's not really edible. V'pnei shirui l'sheikha, because it's right to be ground up. L'chameh ba'isa yisachir, kama isa yisachir, to be used to make other doughs into chametz. Used as a leavening agent, like sourdough. Rav Shimon ben Lazar Omer, b'medvav mamurim b'mikoyemis la'achila. That only applies when this chametz was kept for eating purposes. Aval kupas soyer. But let's say you have some type of glob of soyer, sourdough, so it's really chametz. But he redesignated it for something else other than eating. Shiyichta li'yishiva. He designated for sitting purposes, as a stool, as a chair. Batla becomes batla. So even though it's a large size piece of chametz, but once you meyachet it for a function other than eating, it's batla. And you don't have to do bir chametz. Now, midu amar, Rav Shimon ben Lazar, batla. The fact that he says that it's batla, mechlal tanakama savar, loy batla. Apparently, tanakama disagrees. If it's a large size piece of chametz, it can't just be batla, even though he redesignated it for a different use and different function. Alma kasavar, apparently Tanakama holds. Kol kazayis, if it's a large piece of kazayis, avgav, it's mevatel, loy batel, even though he was mevatel, it became batel. No, it doesn't work, it doesn't become batel. It remains chametz. And there's a chiyuv to do bir chametz. this is Rav Yosef speaking. The Brises, we mentioned earlier, reflect these shitas. The Brises, which says that even a kezayis can be bottle if it's properly located in this bowl and serving a reinforcement function, is shitas Rav Shimon Lazar, who holds that redesignating chametz makes a bottle. The other Brises, which indicated that once you have a kezayis, it can never be bottle, that's a shitas Tanakama. That explains the discrepancy between the Brises. Amli Abai. Okay, you've explained one aspect. Tiras took with kezayis. We answered the stira regarding kezayis. Fine. What about the other element, the other stira between the brises? There were two parts in those brises. There was another discussion regarding less than a kezayis. Brisa number one maintained that if it's either or, either location or size, that addresses the concerns, right? If you have a kezayis but it's reinforcing, bottle. You have less than a kezayis, even if it's sitting on the side of the bowl, not really serving such a vital function. It's not supporting the water. It's bottle. Now, that was in contradiction with the second brisa, which held that when it's less than a kezayis, you need to have it located on the bottom. You need to have two elements, right? According to the second brisa, you have two elements in favor, size and location. According to the first brisa, even size was enough to negate this piece of chametz. Now, you're telling me brisa number one is a Shimon Lazar. That's why even when it's a kezayis, but if it's designated to be used as a reinforcement, it's bottle. As Rav Shimon Lazar says, the kupas are sheikh l'yeshiva's bottle. Fine, that's understood. But what about the second element within that brisa? Less than a shear is automatically bottle. How do you know that Rav Shimon Lazar would concur with that? Even if it's not really serving a reinforcement function, how do you know that he would agree that it's bottle? Pachas mekezayis miteratz. Have you resolved this theory regarding less than a kezayis? Says Abai Ella, Havaha, Rabbi Shimon Lazar. In fact, both prices reflect the Shita of Shimon Lazar. V'leikash, and the answer is like this. They're both saying one and the same halacha. Both prices, even though they appear to contradict each other, it's not so. So a bowl, a areva, has three parts to it. Right? We explained earlier, it has the bottom, where you pour the water before you start kneading. It needs to support the weight of that water. Then you have the sides, which is going to hold the actual dough when you start kneading it. And then you have the lips, which is not really a place that's meant to support anything. Not the water, nor the dough. It's meant to reach that point. The halacha is going to be like this. Both prices will agree to the halacha. They just have different ways of describing the locations in this bowl. They're using different words to describe the same point in the bowl. But at the end of the day, they're both saying the same thing. And the conclusion is going to be like this. So you have three parts of that bowl, the bottom, the sides, and the top. If it's on bottom, where it's really needed for reinforcement, because that's where the liquid's going to be, and you have to prevent leakage, in that case, even if it's a kezayis of dough embedded in the crack, plugging up that hole, it's going to be bottle. Because he holds, Rav Shimon Lazar holds, that even if it's a large size piece of chametz, but if it's functioning in a capacity other than achila, it's bottle. That's on bottom. On top, on the lip, even if there's a crack and some dough filling it, it's no bittel there because it's not really serving a function, it's not bottle. Regarding the middle, meaning the sides, which is meant to contain dough but not water, so then, if it's a kezayis, it's too big to be bottle, just by virtue of the fact that it's serving some sort of function and slightly reinforcing the kli. That won't work. But if it's less than a kezayis, the fact that it's so small and it is serving some type of function, as Rashi explains, you're still preventing leakage of the dough. It's supporting, it's reinforcing the kli to properly contain the dough. So then, if it's small enough, it's less than a kezayis, we say it's bottle there. So on bottom, even a kezayis is bottle. On top, nothing is bottle. In the middle, less than a kezayis is bottle. And that's agreed upon by both prices. Both reflecting Shita's Shimon Lazar. Like Asha. Haba Makam Lisha. When the first price says that less than a kezayis, which was embedded in a makam she'ein osa l'chazik. You know what that meant? Ein osa l'chazik means It's not the bottom. It's not the place which contains liquid. Rather, it's on the side. And that's why it's still serving some sort of reinforcement function, and it's bottle. The second brayse which told us that less than a kazayis in a makim she'ein osa l'chazak is not bottle. He wasn't referring to the same place as the first brayse. Ein osa l'chazak is referring to the place which is not meant to hold anything. The very top, the rim, the lip of the bowl. And that's why nothing is bottled there, because it's not serving as a reinforcement at all. It's not needed. So both brayse are saying one and the same halach. They're just describing it in different ways. So once again, we're following Shitzur Shimon Lazar, who holds that even a large-sized piece of chametz can be bottled if it's serving in a different capacity, if it was redesignated for non-eating purposes. Brayse number one and brayse number two, which seem to contradict each other, are both following his shita. That a kazayis, which is properly located on bottom of that bowl, serving as a proper reinforcement and a very vital, crucial role, that's bottle, because it was redesignated for a non-eating purpose. If it's sitting on the side of the bowl, where it's not meant to contain water, just dough, then if it's small enough, it's less than a kazayis, we say, oh, that function is important enough to be bottle. If it's on top, on the lip, that serves no function at all. And that dough is not bottle. So Bryson number one said that a kazayis is bottle when it's a makam she'asa l'chazak. That meant a place which meant to hold water on bottom. Less than a kazayis is bottle when it's ain asa l'chazak. It meant on the sides, not meant to hold water, meant to hold dough. When Bryson number two said that less than a kazayis will not be bottle when it's a makam she'ein osa l'chazak. Raisa meant way above. It's not meant to hold anything up on the lip. Of course nothing is bottled there. And that a kazayis won't be bottle when it's osa l'chazak, even when it's osa l'chazak. Raisa meant osa l'chazak dough on the sides. But on bottom, even a kazayis is bottle. So the terminology is just a bit different. Each one had a different way of describing things. Different ways of applying the word Eidas al-Chazik. But at the end of the day, they both agree. Both prices concur with Shitas Rishum al-Lazar. The place was meant to contain water, even a Kazayas' bottle. The place was meant to contain dough, less than a Kazayas' bottle. The place not meant to hold anything, nothing is bottle. Amar Vashi, Loi Tema, Shaloi B'Makam Lisha. Don't think that when Abaye said that Shaloi B'Makam Lisha, nothing is bottle, he meant to say agaba da agna, on the backside, the exterior of the bowl. Only over there, dough is not bottle. Ela sifsa da agna. Rather, he meant even on the lip. Even dough there is not bottle. Pshita, of course. Why would I think that only the back is not bottle, but on the lip itself it's bottle? Maudatim, perhaps I would think that even on the lip, it serves some type of function to reinforce the kli, because sometimes zimna, on occasion, the atif of matil hasam, perhaps some dough will rise up to that point and reach even the lip. So even plugging that hole is important, and can be bottle kamash malon. That's what Rashi's chiddush. No, even on the lip, it's not considered really bottle to the kli. It's not really serving much of a function. It's not something which is regularly used, and therefore is not bottle. So in conclusion, we had a machlekes between Rav Shimon and Tanakama. What if you have a large size piece of dough and you redesignate it for a non-eating purpose? According to Tanakama, it's not bottle. And Moshe is going to tell us soon, unless he did some sort of maisa to indicate that he's redesignating it. But otherwise, it's not bottle. According to Shimon Lazar, it's bottle. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav. So he quoted Rav, that halacha, Rav Shimon Lazar, that it's bottle. Ain't is that the case? That Rav holds like Rav Shimon Lazar? V'amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, he quoted Rav as well, that it's not bottle just like that. Im toch paneh betit, betela. If he smears its face with plaster to enable its use as a chair, fine, then it's bottle. Toch in, yeah, if he plastered it, loy tachlei, but he didn't smear it, it's not bottle. Apparently, just by redesignation, it doesn't change the status. So you have a kasha within Rav. We have one quote in the name of Rav that halach kishur laws, even just designation, makes it mutter. We have another Rav that it doesn't. Man the masniha, the one that taught this version of Rav, masniha didn't teach the other one. There are two versions of Rav, two amirayim in the name of Rav. One is that we follow Rishon Lazer, even designation is effective. The other one says no, you have to do a mas. Ikedarmi is another version. Amar Nachman, Amar Rav, ein halacha, kibshim malazer. So even Rav Nachman quoted Rav as saying that the halacha does not follow Rishon Lazer. Redesignation yichud alone is not enough. The Amar Yitzchak Bar Hashem Rav, it means a raya. Imtach paneh b'tid b'tel. And only through smearing does it become bottle. You need a maisa. But just yichud alone is not enough. Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel. Let's go back to the pieces of dough embedded inside this bowl. So we learned earlier that if you have a kazayis, you have to remove it. But if it's less than a kazayis, don't worry about it. Shnei chatzoy zeisim. V'chud shal batzak minein. Suppose you have two half kazesim of dough, and there's a thread of dough extending from one half to the other. Does that join them together? Do we consider it as a kazayis of batzik? Rashi explains the batzik here sitting on the side of the areva. So if it's less than a kazayis, it's bottle. So kazayis is not bottle. So is this considered a kazayis because they're joined together by this chut? Right, we take a look. We evaluate. Kol she'ilu yinot lachut. Let's say you would pick up that thread. If you tell him, the other ones, the two pieces would come along. That's considered to be one and connected, chayv levar. But otherwise, they're considered to be separate pieces, in chayv levar. Omar ula, lo yamaran, el bareva. This halach, that two separate half kazesim, pose no concern. That's only when it's sitting inside the crack of a areva. So it's bottled to that areva. Ava babay is chayv levar. But if it's in a home, you know, you have two pieces of dough sitting in your home, half a kazayis each. You have to do beer. My time or why? The zimran, the konishlu, is concerned that perhaps he's going to sweep through his house and sweep together these two pieces of dough. V'nafli gabi adadi. And they'll encounter each other. They'll stick to each other. They'll be considered one and the same. You know, because kazayis of iser. So although we learned earlier in the Masech that crumbs are not reckoned with, but here we're speaking about dough, which can join together and create one glob of a sheer kazayis. So you have to do bir chametz. Amarula. Bob marav. And it's a show they ask the following shayla. What if the two pieces are not sitting in the same room? Bais valiyamau. One is in the house, one is in the next floor. What is the halacha there? Do we have to be concerned that perhaps the half a kazayis is going to drop down from the second floor and land right near the first piece? Or perhaps there's no such concern? Let's say that by the bais valia. What if you have one in the bais and one in the achsadra outside, this terrace outside, which services the house? Are we concerned that perhaps he's going to sweep things up all at once and bring them together? Bais v'achsadra mau. Now, suppose we are concerned there because they're really one in the same area. Perhaps he'll make one big sweep and bring them together. That's the case. Shnei batim zel ifni mizemau. Or if you have two separate rooms, one inside the other, serving two different functions, perhaps over there there is no concern that he's going to make one big sweep on both rooms and bring them together. Mau. So what's the halacha? Are we concerned or not? Take it. We leave it unresolved. Tan rabban hapas sheipsha. You have some bread which formed mold. V'nifsel melechal adam. It's no longer suitable, fit for human consumption. But va'kelav. A dog can still eat it. So what's halach? Metama tumas eichla. Bekabetza. It's still considered food. So let's say it's tame and it has a sheer kabetza. It can give over tumah to others. Because since it was once edible, it keeps its status, its din of eichel, as long as even a dog can eat it. V'nisrefes matmei bepesach. And when you go burn this chametz, you can burn it together with something which is tummy. So even this thing is, if this thing is truma, it can go be metamit when burning it for Pesach, because in any case, it's not really edible. So there's no iser to make it tummy. Meshum Rav Nassan Amru, the name of Rav Nassan, they said, ain't a metamit. He holds that it's no longer metamit to masechim because it's no longer roi lachil asadim. Kaman Azla Adisnan, whose Shita is reflected in the following Mishnah. Klal Omer B'Taharis. This was a rule regarding Taharis. Kolom Yuchad La'ichal Adam. Something designated for Achilas Adam. Tomei remains Tomei Ad Shipasa Melechal Kalif. Until it's no longer fit to be fed to a dog. So even though it's not no longer right for the Adam, it still retains its Eichel status. Whose Shita is this? Kaman. Like Rav Nosson. Apparently it's not like Rav Nosson because he holds that once it's no longer edible for Adam, it's no longer Metam. Tan Rabban, Areva Sa'avdanin, this trough, this bowl, used by the leather tanners and processors, Shenasan L'Secha Kemach. So he placed some flour into this Areva, and now it's Pesach. Does he have to do Birch Chametz? Toyuch Shleisha Yomim Chavi Levar. He placed it in there within the last 3 days, it's still considered fresh enough, and has a din of chametz. He has to do beer. Kodem shleisha yom in chayv levar. If he placed it in there more than 3 days ago, it's considered spoiled, and his bottle is not considered chametz. On Rav Nosson, b'med vam amur. When is this said? When do we have to have that 3 day cutoff time? Shelei nosson l'sech oiris. If he hadn't yet placed some oiris, some hides in this bowl, in which case we say, well, the fact that the flour is sitting in the bowl, due to the reyach, the putrid smell coming out of this bowl, it spoils the flour. But it takes 3 days. Because there's no leather in there. Aval nosson secha oiris, but if you were to place some oiris in there, afilu toshleish eni chayv levar. Even if it was within 3 days ago that he put the flour in there. Ein chayv levar, because the fact that he puts the oir in there, that itself instantly spoils that flour. Amar Rava, halacha k'Rav Nosson, indeed that's the halacha, afilu yamechot. Even if he placed the flour in this bowl within the last day or within the last hour, even just a small amount of time elapsed, it's still bottled because of the oir, which spoils the quality and inability of that flour. Let's make a brief chazar of today's daf. So we learned that tam ki ikar is something which applies to any isser. Taste equals substance. Classic example mentioned in the Gemara, if you have wine-flavored water, a kazayis of that water brings about malchus for the nazir, it's considered like wine. Flavor is like the isser itself. That's agreed upon by all. It's applied to all isser. Question just, is the source? According to Rabbanan, it's learned from Mishras by nazir and applied elsewhere. According to Rekiva, it's learned from the Guli Nachar, the pots of the Goyim. We see that the flavor of the isser is considered like isser. All agree when it comes to a carbon, like a chatas, hetem is directly isser. Even the portion of heter is regarded like the portion of iser. It's mistarif together. Regarding nazir, kot rekiva yes, kot chachamim no. We proceeded with the Mishnah, which told us that if we have some dough embedded in the crack of a areva, of this kneading bowl, if it's a kazayis, you must remove it. If it's less than kazayis, it's bot. And we have two versions of the Gemara. According to the first version, we go to kula. If any one of these two favorable elements are present, small in size, less than kazayis, or even if it's large in size but it's properly located on the bottom of that bowl, meant to properly reinforce that kli, then it's batel. So either a small size or location. According to the second version, we need both aspects, small in size and properly located. We had braisa number one and braisa number two, which posed a stira. And the way Abaye resolved the kasha was that both are following Shimon Lazar, who clearly holds that even a large-sized piece of chametz could be bottled if it was redesignated for a non-eating purpose. And the conclusion was that this bowl has three sections, the very bottom, which is meant to contain the water, the midsection, and the lip. The bottom section, according to Shmuel Lazar, of course, is so important. It's so important to reinforce it, to plug those holes to prevent leakage, that even a large-sized piece of chametz is bottled. The midsection, which is meant to contain the dough, then if it's a small sized piece of chametz embedded in the crevice, that's batel, because it's also serving a function and purpose. Regarding a lip on top, it doesn't need to be reinforced, and anything there is not batel. We learned that if a person has a large sized piece of chametz, like a kupas asor, and he's miyachad li yeshiva, so again, according to Shmuel Lazar, it's batel. And according to Tanakama, it's not bottle unless he does a mas to indicate that it's being used for something else. plaster some plaster on it. And that changes the status of this sar. Who's the halacha follow? We have different versions of the Gemara. We learned that if we have two pieces of dough, each one a half a kazayis, sitting in the walls of this areva, and there's a thread of dough connecting them, then if they can both be lifted by that thread, they're considered like a kazayis. What if we have two pieces of dough sitting in a bias? We're concerned that perhaps due to the sweeping, he's going to sweep them together and connect them, therefore he has to do bir chametz. If one is the bias, one is the aliyah, one is inside, one is outside, one is in this room, one is the other room, we leave it take. We learned about pas she'ipsha, moldy bread, which is no longer roi l'achilas adam, but roi l'achilas kelev. According to Tanakam, it's still metame to masechem, it retains its food status. According to Rav Nosson, it loses that status. We concluded regarding kemach, flour placed in the trough used by the leather tanners. So look at as follows. If it was within 3 days, it's still fresh enough to be considered chametz. If it's past 3 days, it is bottle because it got spoiled due to the reyach coming from this kli. And then we'll conclude it. If he put some oiros, some hide into this kemach, that affects it instantly and is no longer considered chametz, and there's no concern regarding Pesach. Take care, Hatzlacha, Rabbah.